Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Welcome everyone back to the Postgame Brocast. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the 24/7 Sports Network. And I am coming to you after UCLA's tough, bizarre final loss of the season to Pittsburgh in the Sun Bowl, 37-35. UCLA finishes 9-4. Bizarre game. Bizarre finish. UCLA went ahead 35-34 with 35 seconds left on the clock and somehow gave up a full field drive to lose the game with a field goal, rushing three, I think, on the final play, if I've got my memory correct. Not tackling the quarterback. One of the Murphys just kind of dives in with his shoulder, doesn't tackle him, who knows why. Setting up a field goal for the guy who was automatic all day, and he made it to win 37-35. So many things to take away from this. First, I said it pregame. It's still kind of true. Pitt's not very good. UCLA absolutely just blew this game completely. There were four turnovers for UCLA, and like the first two, I mean, get into like individual blame. I'll do that in like writing. I don't think the first two were on Dorian Thompson-Robinson. I think the last one was. The kickoff turnover was awful. But all of that, I think, UCLA, each one of those turnovers, unless I'm forgetting something, Dorian's two picks both happened going into the red zone. They were both in the red zone. So that's taking, you know, you can assign points to positions on the field for UCLA, and that's probably taking an average of about 7 or 8 points off the board for the Bruins, minimum, probably more than that. And then on the other end, the kickoff return that wasn't set Pittsburgh up with a short drive at the 12, I think it was. And the third pick set Pitt up with, I think, a drive that started around the 20. These were all like point significant turnovers is my point. Like these weren't middle of the field, you know, just kind of these weren't like punt turnovers. These were, these were turnovers that were going to lead directly to points. And it really went against UCLA in this one. Then that's, you know, kind of the story of it is just how much turnovers affected this game and how bizarre the turnovers were. You know, there was the Sun Bowl effect at play, which was these high winds, this El Paso weather that causes these insane kickoffs where it's not just the kickoff that was turned over. It was also the kickoff after that where they didn't field it because they thought it was going into the end zone, but it died right at the 5. They have to just field it right there, and it sets Ethan Garbers up with when he first comes into the game, it's his first drive, and he sets up from the 5. Not great. But there was just a lot of bizarre stuff going on, but the turnover fairy, if you will, was clearly on Pitt's side in this one. You know, UCLA throws two balls that hits receivers in the hands, and okay, whether or not you think they should have caught it, it's still crazy that the ball then immediately bounces into the Pitt player's hands. That's, you know, where we get into turnovers luck. Just, you know, the way the ball bounces sometimes, it's kind of weird. So that was, you know, the word is unfortunate. But there was a lot of that. Just UCLA being on the wrong end of bounces and being on the wrong end of game significant calls. Now, I'm not going to say UCLA didn't get a few calls in this one. I thought Matt Sykes should have been reviewed for targeting on the first play. I thought it should have been roughing the punter, not running into the punter. But the game significant calls, which were Kamari Ramsey gets called for that PI, which extends a Pittsburgh drive, and it was the worst PI call I think I've ever seen in my life. And then on Pittsburgh's, I think their penultimate drive, there's the fumble where forward progress is stopped, according to the refs. But in reality, and the shared existence that you and I have as observers and watchers of the world, his forward progress was not stopped. The ball was stripped well before anybody in any football game ever would have whistled the ball to be dead. And they didn't whistle it dead. Should have been a fumble. Should have been recovered, UCLA. And then there was, on that same drive, I believe it was the same drive, Pittsburgh quarterback Nick Patty drops back about 15 yards on a 3rd and 6. And he's got heavy rush on him. And he just throws it away. Problem for him is he was outside of the tackle box, but he didn't get the ball to the line of scrimmage, and there was no one in the vicinity. And it's as if no one involved, including the announcers, knew the rule that the ball still does have to pass the line of scrimmage, and it didn't. Should have been intentional grounding, should have been setting up like a 4th and 24. Instead, it was a 4th and 6. They converted, and then scored on that drive. So there was just a lot of referee bullshit. Referee BS that was affecting the game, and then just gong show turnovers, just stuff that you know, that's just luck of the draw. The way it turned out, pure meltdown. And that's unfortunate. If you look at the underlying stats of the game, it's all very interesting. So Pittsburgh finished only with 5 more yards than UCLA, so relatively even game in the total yardage. But the important thing here is they had 30 more plays than UCLA and only had 5 more yards. UCLA was a significantly better offensive team in this game. I think when they do the post-game win expectancies on this, I'm going to guess that UCLA in most scenarios would have been expected to win this game by like 10. Instead, they lost by 2. I'm guessing Pittsburgh's post-game win expectancy was probably in the 20% or lower range. You wouldn't expect a game with these underlying stats for UCLA to lose. So it took, you know, a lot of bad and unlucky turnovers and some weird hijinks with field position thanks to the wind and the kickoffs. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to this one. You know, UCLA looked like it was – UCLA looked like it could do whatever it wanted more or less offensively in the first half and then really struggled to put anything together in the second half. You know, how much of that was influenced by Dorian Thompson-Robinson? He got hurt, but when was he hurt? Who knows? You know, was he just, you know, a little bit dinged up throughout the entire second half? Who knows? But in the first half, they were doing whatever they wanted to this Pittsburgh defense. And it felt at different points, they should be up like 3 scores. But it was just all these different kind of weird events happening. And Pittsburgh just kept putting up points. You know, they were okay kicking field goals. They kicked 5 in this game. But each time, you know, it because they were able to start to put the clamps down on UCLA's offense in the second half, it actually did matter that they were continuing to chip away with points. They really turned it into, you know, from remembering watching like Pat Narduzzi's mentor, Mark D'Antonio's teams at Michigan State, it felt very much like a Michigan State game, one where they just don't look very good, but it's like kind of weirdly effective. Just this kind of junky style of play where they're just kind of dirtying up the game. And that's kind of what this one turned into. Defensively, I thought UCLA was pretty bad for most of this game. You got to take into account, and as much as the announcers like wanted to turn this into the Nick Patty show, he's not a very good quarterback. Their running backs are not very good. You know, that Hammond guy is fine. He's not great. And they wanted to make it into a, yeah, these guys are really good. They're not. This was UCLA's defense looking really bad against a team that's probably offensively, they're not quite as bad as Stanford, but they're not very good. They should have been able to shut this team down. The way the run defense looked through like the middle stretches of this game, I thought was egregiously bad. The run fits from Darius Musau really struggled in this game, especially early, just picking the wrong lane. It just seemed like he was guessing and guessing wrong basically every time. It seemed like Pittsburgh's plan was to just kind of isolate him and target him both in the pass game, but also just kind of, you know, try to confuse him a little bit with how you're setting up the run. And just the way he picked wrong on seemingly every single run fit made me think it was Pitt doing something that was getting his eyes wrong. But it was, I mean, it was really bad. I thought UCLA's defensive line didn't play particularly well after the first quarter or so. They were getting stood up constantly. The secondary had fits and bursts of quality play. You know, the safeties, I thought, early on looked really good. Cornerback play, obviously, has not been good all year. And there were a couple of big blown plays by corners. The Patty early run, I have to rewatch the game because I didn't even catch who it was in real time. But the corner who was on the right side, as Patty is already like just sprinting down the field and everyone can see he has the ball, the corner hasn't become aware of that yet and runs across his face to go do something on the other side while the quarterback just runs through his vacated side of the field. I'm not saying he would have made the play, but it wouldn't have been a 50-yard run or whatever it was. And then Hearn had the really, really rough play on whatever the Pitt receiver was, who caught the huge deep bomb on the second drive for Pitt I think hung in the air for about 7.5 seconds. You shouldn't ever give up a catch on a ball that hangs in the air that long. Give up a PI. You know, like, I mean, if it's in the air that long and you need to go interfere with the guy to get it done, get it done. But you should never give up a catch in that situation. But he kind of fell down, didn't recover fast enough. And, you know, watching the defense as a whole, I think the big thing that I came away with is they really can't even match up with Pitt athletically. And that's distressing because Pitt is not, you know, this is not an offense full of world-class athletes. But, you know, watching the linebacker struggle to get to the sideline against these Pitt backs, watching, you know, the corners struggle to change direction against these Pitt receivers, it's just, it was obvious and apparent that they were just, you know, Pitt had better talent on offense than UCLA had on defense. And if you look at Pittsburgh and you look at UCLA and their respective recruiting environments, that should never happen, ever, 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 ever. But I think that's what happened in this game. And, you know, schematically, I mean, we'll review more of that stuff. I thought there was a bit too much blitzing. It seemed like every time UCLA did blitz, Pitt was able to do kind of some quick passing behind it. The blitzing wasn't effective, again, going back to players. But it also just seemed like they weren't well-timed. And then the edge rush, again, these guys are getting held a little bit, but they're quitting mid-play to complain about holds. You can't have that. Like, that's not, especially by the end of this game, there was a play, it was the one where, I think it was the fumble, actually, where one of the Murphys thinks he got held and stops playing to, like, throw his hands up and be like, what the heck? But the play's ongoing, and it's not ongoing downfield. It's ongoing right next to him. And there's just, yeah, you're getting held, but also nobody in the edge rush is really doing that great at getting to the quarterback either. And everyone holds. It happens all the time. It's not something unique to UCLA that they never get a holding call. So it's just, I don't know. I think there's talent deficiencies across the board defensively that have reared their ugly head more and more over the course of the season. And then offensively, obviously not having Zach Charbonnet in this game was significant. TJ Harden had a couple of really big runs. He had that huge run late that nearly, it set up the touchdown, and then he ran in the touchdown. That should have been the game-winning drive. He played well. Keegan Jones did well catching the ball out of the backfield, didn't do great between the tackles. But yeah, I mean, there was a real absence there without Charbonnet. He probably, given the depletion for Pittsburgh's defensive front, he probably could have run for 150 yards in this game. And then the receiving game, Cam Brown, obviously huge. He had four big catches, looked kind of electric, and TMA was great. That deep bomb that Dorian threw him in the first half, probably the best thrown ball of UCLA, of Thompson Robinson's career. One of the best catches I can remember in recent UCLA history. You usually don't see UCLA make those catches. Contested, downfield, having to fall down for the ball. That was some real receiver talent from him. But yeah, I mean, overall, really disappointing finish to the season. I'm not just trying to do confirmation bias. I didn't watch that game and think that Pitt was very good either. Like, I wrote the preview and I predicted a UCLA 3-touchdown blowout. And frankly, the Pitt team I was kind of expecting showed up. It's just that UCLA didn't. The UCLA team that I was expecting, and it's not just that Charbonnet was out. I think if you watch that first half, UCLA was the much better team, just fell apart in the second half, and in a meltdown-y kind of way, and that's the story of the game. So UCLA finishes 9-4, pretty disappointing finish to the season, but it's still the best season that Chip Kelly's had at UCLA. They made it to a bowl game, and were couple points away from winning it, so I guess you can take that to an extent, but obviously a disappointing finish to the season, to Dorian Thompson Robinson's career at UCLA, to Zach Charbonnet's career at UCLA, and that's all she wrote. All right, we're all going to enjoy some basketball tonight, right? Right. Talk to you soon.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.